Hello, and welcome to the reading of The Yuma Sun. This is Joyce Vesper, your Sun Sounds of Arizona member-supported radio reading service volunteer broadcaster. Today I'll be reading some of the following articles. Increased revenue and foot traffic in downtown Yuma. Legacy of service. Sons of Border Patrol agent lost in line of duty carry on tradition of serving the country. Why CSO identifies suspect in vandalized campaign sign case. Our first article today, Legacy of Service, Sons of Border Patrol agent lost in line of duty carry on the tradition of serving the country. The article is written by Customs and Border Protection Special to the Yuma Sun. As Shane Cassis stood poised above the pool at the Summer Olympics in Paris, it seems like a variety of events led him to this moment. Years of training at the highest level, becoming a U.S. and world champion, the days of sacrifice by his mother, and the latest push to reach excellence that brought him to France for his first games. But maybe more than all the rest was one fatal moment more than 20 years earlier that led him to this point. It was destiny for sure, Cassis said. It happened when I was so little and set the tone for the rest of my life. The event which happened when he was just 4 years old was drowning of his father, Border Patrol agent James Epling. He was lost in the line of duty in the Colorado River near Andorrayed, California, December 16, 2003. Jimmy was sick that day. He had the flu, said Monica Epling, his widow, recalling how he went into work despite not feeling great, because his fellow agents needed help. He heard over the radio that there was a lot of activity by the river. They were short-staffed because that was the night of the Christmas party. He went because there was a group of immigrants in distress in the river. Monica wished she would have tried to make him stay home, but she also knew that she couldn't have kept him away anyway, because lives were on the line. Later that night, she received the dreaded knock at the door where her husband's friend, Border Patrol agent Tom Ramsey, the sector chief and several other members of the Yuma station stood and gave her the news that her husband was missing. She barely heard what they were saying. I was in a daze, Monica said. 3 days later, James Epling's body was found. She suddenly became a single mother with three boys and another one just 6 weeks from being born. But she was never alone. There was a constant flow of agents there. Jimmy's classmates and friends were there. So I was never by myself unless I asked for time to be by myself. It was not long after the drowning of her husband and subsequent move to her home state of Texas that Monica Epling decided her sons needed to learn to swim. After living for a few months in the new house in Texas, I decided to build a pool, Monica said. She was determined that none of her sons would suffer the same fate as their father. So I put all of them in water safety. She laughed as she remembered how Shane went quickly from just using the little arm floaties that most little kids use in the baby pool to being the accomplished swimmer that he is today. She said not long after he started learning how to swim, the instructor saw Shane's potential and encouraged her to pull him in a swim team. She didn't think he could swim with the older children, but he surprised her. He was one of the youngest swimmers, but he was one of the best they had. He moved up really quickly. Monica's other sons, Sean, nearly 10 when Epling drowned, Seth, only 2 when he lost his father, and Jimmy, 11, who was born a few weeks after the incident, all have gone on to accomplish much already. Jimmy and Seth are both U.S. Marines. Sean has a degree in geology. Seth agreed that his dad's service to the country had made an impact on him, although he only had other people's memories of James Epling to help make that impression. I was 2 when it happened, said Seth. Not a sergeant in the U.S. Marines, who works as an intelligence specialist at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and only learning about his father from friends and family members. They told me he was a great man, that he was very caring for my mother and brothers, and others his father didn't even know. He went into the river to save people, even though they were here illegally trying to save them. It proves what kind of a man he was. Fond memories of Epling extend beyond his immediate family members. Ramsey was Epling's classmate at the Border Patrol Academy in early 2003. The two eventually worked in Yuma together, with Epling being Ramsey's roommate, until Epling could get his family out there to Arizona. He was all about family, Ramsey said. Epling was also seeking Ramsey, who had been married for at least 10 years, when the two met, about how to have a successful marriage and be a good family man. That was his focus, making the marriage and family life work. Ramsey said Epling was all around a good guy, who lit up the room when he walked in and would do anything for someone. Jimmy was the kind of guy who would give you the shirt off his back, he said. He still thinks about Epling to this day. For me, it's like it's just happening yesterday. Border Patrol agent Tyler Emblem was and still is on the Border Patrol search and rescue team out of Yuma, who searched the icy cold waters of the Colorado River for James Epling on that dark December night in 2003. He remembered getting the call during the office Christmas party, hastily grabbing his gear, meeting up with the other search and rescue team members. I remember the water being very, very cold. We knew the search area, so we knew the terrain would deal with it. We hopped in the water and started calling his name. The search continued for days until Epling's body was finally found. He added that not only was it an all hands on deck situation for the small team of the Border Patrol search and rescue personnel, but it seemed like the entire Yuma station was involved. Local law enforcement, U.S. Marine, Mexican border agents, and even civilians bringing meals all pitched in the best that they could, but Emblem said it's not that surprising. When you realize it's someone else in uniform, the connectivity you have to the law enforcement brethren is unseen, but very strong. You don't necessarily need to know that individual, but the motivation is strong when trying to save a fellow law enforcement officer's life. We spend ungodly amounts of hours looking for people we don't know, who we have never seen, but when it's someone in uniform, it's a whole different level. It's one of your guys. Emblem knew Epling, although admittedly not well, and that Epling wanted to be part of the search and rescue team in Yuma. He was an athlete. I have no doubt he would have been a great addition to the team, he said, before pausing and reflecting that maybe in a way Epling actually is, maybe in an unseen way now. In an ironic or maybe befitting twist, Greg Solis, Cass's childhood friend, who was the same swim team with him when they were just kids, became a Border Patrol agent, which Cass just recently found out. I was in the fifth grade when I met him, Solis said. Nothing that despite 3 years older than Cassis, a big gap for little kids, Cassis was the strongest swimmer even in the older age group. It was the more elite level, and he was the youngest kid in our level. Solis remembered the younger, high-energy Cassis as wanting to hang out with the older boys, even outside of swimming activities, as they traveled together to various swim meets. I remember him being the younger, annoying kid. He was always bouncing around. He had a lot of energy, laughed Solis. He also said it's no surprise Cassis was successful. He started with a lot of the attributes to start at the highest level. He's a big, big guy. He has the talent, and he has the work ethic. And Solis's silent partner, a fallen Border Patrol agent who serves as new agent angels on their shoulders during basic training and throughout their careers, is none other than Border Patrol agent James Epling. It was a rumor at the time, during the swim team days, that his dad had passed away as a Border Patrol agent in drowning accidents, and his mom wanted to make sure her kids were able to swim, said Solis, who now works in the busy Laredo, Texas area. When he got the silent partner card in the Border Patrol basic training, Solis had no idea about the connection. I was extremely motivated by Epling's act of courage and his sacrifice. At the academy, which is a hard journey, it's a very motivating situation to have a hero you want to follow. In high school, Solis was a lifeguard. While he hasn't done a water rescue as part of his work in Laredo, he said he has carried a migrant a couple of miles off some ranch land, saving the person when the migrant fell into distress. He hopes one day to join the Border Patrol search and rescue team himself, something James Epling once aspired to do. I want to be part of the rescues. I want to follow Epling's example of self-sacrifice, since it's been so inspiring in my career, Solis said. Monica has her own legacy of service as the daughter of a Border Patrol agent who years ago was in charge of the Rio Grande Valley sector in McAllen, Texas, as well as doing her own stint in the U.S. Navy and now working for the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration in Texas. She sees the legacy of James reflected in her son's service to the country in all of its different ways. I have no doubt that the service was from what they saw growing up, she added, saying that she has several other family members who have also served in the U.S. military and law enforcement. I didn't tell the boys, you need to do this, you need to do that. I let them make their own choices. It's their blood. Seth plans to follow in his father's footsteps and join the Border Patrol when his latest enlistment is up in a few years. Now he often thinks about the man who knew him and as his son for only briefly, who served the country well. It's a legacy Seth plans to carry forward. I have pictures of him and our family in the room. It was just a baby in the pictures. He's always on my mind. Seth also credited the strength of his mother for getting the family through. She was always there for us, and she still is, he said, pointing out how she would take all the boys to their various activities growing up and even took them to visit the gravesite where James Epling is buried. She would let us talk to our dad, which Seth said he still does today in his own thoughts and prayers. Besides the legacy Epling left his sons, there's a legacy that remains with the agents who served with him. It gives you more resolve and purpose to do your job, Eblem said, referring to Epling's drowning. Death is a real thing, and I think our job is to keep that at bay as long as possible for people, adding this one still hits close to home for him, more than 20 years later. None of the people who were there who wear the uniform will ever forget that. And maybe if there is something positive to take from the loss of an agent, there's knowing other agents' lives are saved today because of what was learned on that December 2003 day on the banks of the cold Colorado River. I know there's a Border Patrol agent who has been saved by the education that Border Patrol has provided in water safety courses, Emblem said. It was a wake-up call for a lot of us on the search and rescue team and heightened the importance of our job. His memory, through his family, is still very much alive. It's still a living thing. It's not simply a tombstone in the cemetery. Ramsey echoed those sentiments. There's not a day that goes by, and I talk with my other classmates and we message each other on Jimmy's anniversary, that he doesn't think about Epling in that fateful day. He's definitely missed. In Paris, Cassis finished just outside of the group that would make the finals in the men's 200-meter individual medley, ending his quest for gold medals at the 2024 Olympic. But he vowed he'll be in the pool again when the games come to Los Angeles in 2028. Cassis said he used to never really think about how his father's drowning led him down the path to serve the U.S. by becoming a world-class swimmer, but he now knows that destiny and Epling's legacy carries on within him. What happened to him and the absence of our father in childhood, I guess, kind of guided me to stay swimming, Cassis said. I just always felt like there was something pushing me forward. I don't think stuff happens like that for no reason and just by chance. This article, written by Customs and Border Protection Special to the Yuma Sun, Legacy of Service, Sons of Border Patrol Agent Lost in the Line of Duty, Carry on a Tradition of Serving the Country. Josh Bootson, Sun staff writer, pens increased revenue and foot traffic in downtown Yuma. Downtown Yuma is experiencing increased revenue and foot traffic in part thanks to the efforts of merchants who've come together to connect and engage with the public. Chris Wheeler, president of Downtown Yuma Merchants Association and owner of Prison Hill Brewing Company, presented the Yuma City Council meeting on October 16th with an update of the organization's current standing and their future goals. DYMA, a 501c3 nonprofit, was created a little over 5 years ago when the city administrator at the time approached Wheeler after being inspired by similar successful efforts in other cities across the United States. Wheeler compared getting downtown merchants on board to herding cats. COVID also displayed and delayed the project, but offered time for planning and laying the groundwork. I'm very proud of what we've achieved so far, and we're going, but we are just getting started. My full goal is to fund major projects in partnerships within the city or in partnership with other organizations and apply for grants, receiving that revenue and putting it forward to do good things for the downtown area. The city outsources alcohol sales at city events to DYMA, which provides continuous sources of revenue during events seasons. DYMA's board of directors is entirely responsible for the operation of the organization. It is composed of representatives from bars, restaurants, retail, and agriculture, with positions available for the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, Visit Yuma. A current proposal would create a seat for the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. Membership is limited to the entertainment district bordered by First Street to the north, Giss Parkway to the south, Gila Street to the east, and 4th Avenue to the west. Membership is designed to give equal representation to the downtown business owners. Therefore, if someone owns three businesses within the operating area, they still only get one vote. The idea being that it is representative of the entire merchant organization, and no one voice outweighs the other. DYMA has been working with Visit Yuma and MGM Design to promote the downtown area with considerable success. MGM Design created a website, an app in the beta testing phase, and information kiosks scattered across the area. These things were white, dilapidated, and they had businesses on them that I don't even remember, if you could even read them. Wheeler said of the kiosks, "Now there's a QR code that will link you to the website, and it has every business from law office to retail shop to restaurant or bar categories listed, and you can click on those, find out where they are, at what time they are operational, what they do, and read a little blurb about the business itself. The website can be adjusted timely and efficiently. If a business opens, the website can reflect that within 24 hours. We have traffic that frequents the site, and our metrics are amazing. It is having an impact. We see increase in revenue. We see increase in foot traffic. We know that people are clicking through to other businesses. That traffic translates into revenue. Our revenue turns into tax dollars. Everybody wins." Councilman Emma Lee Shoup stressed the importance of utilizing the Colorado River and other surrounding tourist attractions within DYMA's marketing strategy. Without the river, there would not have been a downtown Yuma. Wheeler replied that the website links to the recreational areas and includes information about YCNHA to help direct visitors to the river and places that Yuma is most proud of. With the help of the Visit Yuma, DYMA's social media presence has soared in recent years, with its best-performing Instagram video eclipsing 150,000 views. It is really unprecedented what we've been able to do in such a short time. In addition to marketing downtown Yuma, DYMA has taken it upon itself to improve the visual component of the area, beginning to line the block with date palms and other landscaping. "We are world-renowned for our date production. We had landscaping issues downtown, and thought was put forward to make Main Street look very consistent, very uniform, but also indicative of what we do well. With the assistance from Gowan, we put date palms down the entire block." DYMA is also hoping to fund light fixtures on the date palms with revenue from event liquor sales. Council members Carol Smith and Leslie McClendon asked about the status of First Friday events. Wheeler replied that this is a work in progress. It takes time to build consensus among business owners on how to set up the event and convince them that it would be worthwhile to incur the expense of operating longer hours. "I think we can make this something that we can be proud of, something that gives us reason to go out and to socialize and see what Yuma is about. Businesses and organizations who are interested in taking part in First Friday should email info@downtownyumamerchants.com for more information." Council only had good things to say about the progress that Wheeler and DYMA have made these last 5 years. "I'm so pleased with the expansion and thoughtful nature of everything that's going on," said Council Member Mike Shelton. "Where you are now, this is just a tremendous leap forward, so I want to commend your leadership and other businesses for putting this together, and I know you're up to great things. This is a great next step for downtown," Mayor Doug Nichols said. "There's been an amazing transformation with people opening up their private businesses in the last 20 years, and I think it's revitalizing the energy. You've done a great job in pulling together the neighbors, and I think it's going in the right direction." This article, written by Josh Bootson, Sun staff writer, "Increased Revenue and Foot Traffic in Downtown Yuma." Sun staff reports, YCSO identifies suspect in vandalized campaign sign case. Thanks to the public assistance, the Yuma County Sheriff's Office has identified and located the suspect in the damaged campaign sign case and issued a criminal citation to the suspect. However, YCSO did not publicly release the name of the suspect, who reportedly ran over and used a machete to destroy campaign signs Wednesday. At 5:55 p.m., the sheriff's office received multiple reports of a man destroying campaign signs in the area of East 40th Street and South Foothills Boulevard. Witnesses reported the suspect running over signs with a vehicle, kicking signs over, and using a machete to damage the signs. Deputies arrived on the scene and canvassed the area but were unable to locate any subjects matching the description or the vehicle. The sheriff's office asked the public for help in identifying the vehicle and or the suspect in the photo. We would like to thank the community for assisting in this investigation, YCSO stated in a follow-up press release. The agency has also encouraged citizens to report damage or the removal of campaign signs. According to Arizona law, it is a Class 2 misdemeanor for any person to knowingly remove, alter, deface, or cover any political sign of any candidate for public office without office authorization. Additional charges of trespassing, theft, and/or criminal damage may also be applicable under certain circumstances. The Yuma County Sheriff's Office asks that anyone with information regarding damage or removal of campaign signs call 928-783-4427 or 78-CRIME to remain anonymous. This article written by the staff report from the Yuma Sun, YCSO identifies suspect in vandalized campaign sign case. Mara Knab writes, balancing bad news with good news is good for us. I've often described myself as a news junkie because I've always loved reading news and staying up to date on current events. Even as a child, I grabbed every newspaper I could get my hands on and would always watch the newscasts. I joke that I was born to be a journalist. However, I've heard from some friends and family that they can't read or watch too much news because it makes them depressed. I don't blame them. The world is full of bad news nowadays, a lot of tragic events, a lot of evil, so I can understand how too much news, in particular bad news, can be stressful. Knowing current events and being informed about the world around us can help us make better decisions, but like everything else, too much of anything can be bad. I found an article on GoodRx.com written by mental health professionals who noted that too much bad news can be detrimental to our mental and physical health. Did you know that there's such a thing called doom scrolling? According to the GoodRx article, doom scrolling, why too much news can be bad for your mental health, doom scrolling is when someone spends too much time reading bad news on social media and news websites. Sometimes people spend hours doing this, although it only feels like minutes. It's really easy to do because the news is readily available 24/7 from endless sources. Television, documentaries, publications, websites, radio, and podcasts, as well as social media. Unfortunately, because of world events, a lot of this news is bad news. Some people are addicted to bad news. Why are people drawn to bad news? It's due to negativity bias. There's mental health experts that explain that negativity bias is the idea that people place greater emphasis on negative events or information than on positive ones. It developed as a form of protection. During ancient times, people stayed safer by focusing on the possibility of negative outcomes instead of relaxing as a bear approached. Your ancestors reacted with caution and stress. Negativity bias worked well back then, but now it's no longer needed in the same way. Rather than keeping you safe, negativity bias causes you to feel more anxious and focus on the scary, uncertain, or uncontrolled parts. You may seek out and reach bad news faster than good news. Bad news can hurt your mental health much more than good news can help it. The secret is to find a balance. We want to stay informed, but we might balance the bad news with the good news. And there's always good news around us. There's the one of the things that I love about the community, journalism. We get to highlight the good things that people are doing in our community. For the most part, the big media outlets don't care about the awards handed to the kids and the honors given to the citizens in our community. On the other hand, local newspapers like the Yuma Sun love to share these accomplishments with our readers. So if you know of any good news like this happening in our community, send it our way. We want to share it with our readers. Mark Knab wrote, balancing bad news with good news is good for us. And now we turn to the Yuma Sun obituaries. Charles Craig Cruthards, 63, from Welton. William J. Gardenhire, Jr., 80, from Somerton. Margarita Kulik, 45, from Yuma. Linda Lou Molgaard, 81, from Welton. Albert Julis Morales, 47, from Yuma. Sun Sounds of Arizona expresses its condolences to the friends and family members of their loved ones. And now we turn to the weather. For today, Monday the 28th, we'll have a high of 91 degrees, a low of 60, it'll be mostly sunny, and no chance for rain. On Tuesday, it'll be much cooler, with 77 for the high, 50 for the low, it will be sunny, with a 1% chance for rain. Wednesday, 79 for the high, 52 for the low, mostly sunny, no chance for rain. On Thursday, we'll go up a few degrees for a high of 82 degrees with a low of 52. It'll be sunny, but no chance for rain. On Friday, it's more of the same with a high of 82, a low of 53, sunny, 0% chance for rain. And on Saturday, the 2nd of November, we'll have a high of 79 degrees, a low of 56 degrees. It will be partly cloudy with no chance for rain. And that's your forecast for the coming week. This brings us to the conclusion of today's Yuma Sun program. I'm Joyce Vesper, your Sun Sounds of Arizona Radio Reading Service volunteer broadcaster. Thank you so much for listening to the reading of the Yuma Sun on Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Stay healthy, everyone. Be well. Be happy. Bye-bye.